All right, take your Bibles tonight. Let's turn, let me get this on. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 4.
1 Peter chapter 4, two weeks ago, when we started on this series, we were looking in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read that for a little bit of a reference. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, we find that phrase found in verse number 7, 1 Peter chapter 1, then we'll get chapter 4. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Peter 4, 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. We'll stop the reading there. I want to talk to you tonight just a little bit on this subject, just two or three things that I think are important about fiery trials. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Lord, thank you for a good time of fellowship, some praise that we've offered up to you. And we do give you glory, Lord, from the blessings of life, safety, and protection to our families. And certainly, Lord, for your precious word. In the moments I have now, while it's my turn, help me to share something. That'll be a blessing and speak to our hearts and help us to recall how good you are even through the trials of life. And we'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've always been just a little scared of fire one way or the other. I don't know what it was. Maybe when I was a little kid, I might have got burned. I don't remember specifically what it was. But I do know that I've always been just a little bit scared of it in particular. When I was just 13 years old, my little sister was only 9 months old at the time. So she's just beginning to learn to walk, really. And I can still remember her falling on one of those hot furnace grates that were in the floor of the old houses that were just, I mean, they weren't made of temperature-resistant material. They were just very, very hot. And I remember watching her. I heard her scream, and I came out of my bedroom, and she was right there just a few feet away. She was standing on that grate while it was just burning, and I can't help but think of fire when that, called the fire underneath it was burning and heating that up with that gas furnace, and her feet were just so bad, just scorching. And then, of course, because her feet were so bad, she sat down to try to get some relief, which, of course, her diaper caught there, and that began to catch on or to really heat up and to melt. And then, of course, she leans over on one side, and the grate gets one leg, and then she leans over to the other side, and the grate gets the other leg. I think still on her calf, she still has a slight scar from those days. And I can remember a 9-month-old baby, think about this, the hospital with her hands all bandaged up all the way up to the tip and her legs, feet all bandaged up. It was a terrible thing. I guess some of those type of incidents make me be a little bit scared of fire. I can remember, too, is probably, I guess I was maybe around 8 or 9 years of age at living in Hayhire, Georgia. A friend of mine, Charlie Cowart, and I, we were neighbors right next door. Behind our houses was a field of corn. And this was, you know, some of that corn they were harvesting later on. And I can still remember me and him going out there one night. We thought it would be a great idea to get a couple of those ears of corn and you know, shuck them. And then it was all dry corn. And so we'd kind of get it off the cob and then pop it. You know, we always liked popcorn. And Mama wouldn't ever buy a Jiffy Pop. It was cute on television. But for some reason, it cost more than she wanted to spend. So we decided to do that out there one night. And lo and behold, as we camped out, of course, we was only about 30 feet out the back door, but we were camping out because we were outside. And then somewhere in the middle of the night, our fire got out of hand and burned about half that cornfield off. Now, it didn't bother us. There's a lot of popcorn going on, so to speak. But what the fellow that didn't like it was the guy that owned the cornfield. He didn't like it very much. So I've had a few experiences, I'm sure you have too, when it comes to fire. But the fiery trial that's referred to here, or the fire that tries us, is a whole different story. It's things that God puts us through that we view as fiery in the sense of it's dangerous, it's harmful, it's hurtful. This might really burn us. This might scar us in some way. But God sees it from a different perspective. Now think about this, the words used in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, the fiery trial. These is, to describe it this way, as one Bible scholar said, it's like the fire by which metals are tested and their dross is removed. It's for the smelting of gold and silver. When they put those elements with some of their impurities in the ore, and they put that into the fire so that the impurities can be burned and therefore separated from that which is the true gold or the true silver that's there. Albert Barnes said this, it means properly the fiery part of that trial. It means being on fire, burning, a conflagration, and then any severe trial that somebody goes through. I like this statement. One said, it was not to burn them up. And this is important for us. What Peter is telling them, don't think it strange that you are going through a fiery trial, because all believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what nation they live in or what ethnic background they are of, they will all go through their trials. We go through them. People that are our brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the world, they could go through them too. But here's what it means. It was not to burn them up or a fire kindled for their destruction, but it was to prove them whether they would conceal or deny the truth of Jesus, whether they would give up their Christianity or continue true to their profession. Those of you that know a little about history know that some of the early Roman emperors during the time of Christianity did something that would be a literal fiery trial. And that was that they killed Christians for their faith when they would not deny Jesus. And they killed them. Some were given over to the lions in the Roman Colosseum. Others were drowned, different methods. But one of the most horrifying was that they crucified some of them on crosses outside of the city of Rome on each side of the road leading up to Rome. And then they set pitch upon them and set them on fire and literally burned those Christians alive. Surely, if you thought of a fiery trial and you were living in that day, you might have thought that's what he's referring to. But I don't think he was referring to one type of death or persecution. I think he simply means that the trials, the difficulties and hardships we face in life, much like Miss Sandra said earlier, are there meant to help draw us back to or closer to God. Sometimes to bring us to our knees. Sometimes just to help us refocus spiritually. Because if we're all honest, when everything's running smooth, we tend to think it's going to keep running smooth. And sometimes it's just our sinful nature. Even saved, we have an old nature that still leans toward that which pleases the flesh rather than that which pleases God. And I'm afraid that that causes us to become ungrateful, to take for granted, and we go smooth sailing through all of it. Everything's fine. I don't need the Lord. But there's not a person in this room tonight that when you've hit rock bottom didn't realize this. I need the Lord. Those trials have a powerful impact. The Christian life is filled with the ministry of fiery trials. We often fail to envision all the benefits of it. We just don't see necessarily what those conflicts do or what the pain or the sorrow might develop in us. But let's be honest, don't those things sometimes help develop in us a spirit of humility? We see somebody else go through a trial, we get a little arrogant and proud. And we begin to think of what we would or would not do. We could handle that. But sometimes the Lord lets those things hit us very similar to what we've seen others, some that we have judged and criticized, and the Lord brings us down to earth and reminds us, but for the grace of God, that would be you. Oh, you'd never get mad at God, and then you got mad at God. Oh, you'd never curse His name, and then you did. Oh, you'd never say, I'm going to quit throwing the towel, and then you got to that point. I think these things remind us to have a spirit of humility. They remind us to have a sympathetic heart toward other people and to care about what they're going through. Sometimes you may not have to go through it, but you just see somebody else. When you hear the word hospice and somebody's been called in, does your heart go out to that family? It ought to. Because that trial they're going through, facing the prospect of their loved one going out into eternity, may well be you one day if the rapture doesn't take place. And so I think it gives us a sympathetic heart. And it also helps us develop a long-suffering attitude so that we learn to endure. We learn to take a little bit more. Have you ever heard the phrase, the threshold of pain? What that means is that some people are real sensitive to pain. That they're just the least little old thing. Oh man, that hurts so bad. And then there are women here who have gone through childbirth and they would probably laugh at those who worry about, you know, getting a stitch or two in their arm or in their leg, because they know what real pain is. I've understood this as a Baptist preacher for a long time. One of the most sensitive parts of the human body is the wallet. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. There's a whole lot of people that, you know, they say this, you're supposed to give till it hurts. Evidently, a lot of people are real sensitive to pain because after about 25 cents, they're like, oh man, that hurts too bad. They say if you want to kill a Baptist, you shoot him in the wallet. I don't know if that's true or not. And then one preacher showed me years ago a Baptist handshake. And I said, well, what is that? So he reached out and as he took my hand like this, he reached around and grabbed my wallet with his other hand. Now, in this day and age, you can't be grabbing somebody's buttocks, I'm going to tell you right now. But anyway, now, the preacher, don't do that. We're not that close. I'm going to give you three things from this passage tonight that I think will be, certainly was an encouragement to me, and I hope it would be to you, about trials, fiery trials. Number one, they are passing experiences. What do you mean by that? Well, he does mention here that the fiery trials are coming. He mentioned back in chapter number 1, and this is an interesting phrase that he uses back in chapter number 1. He talks about them that they're only for a season. In verse number 6 of chapter 1, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Trials come, but they don't come to stay. They're here. They ain't going to always be here. The Lord brings us through them. Times of heaviness do visit us, but they come, as the Bible says in many places, and it came to pass. That doesn't just mean it came to happen, but it came to be gone. It's here, and then it's gone. Most of us can look back because there are trials that are behind us. Now, you might be in the middle of one right now, or you may be anticipating one coming, but if we're all, again, honest, can you look back and see trials that you went through? And they were of such magnitude that you thought this much, I'll never make it through this. But you did. Why? Because trials are passing experiences. They come, they happen, we endure them, and then we move on. Again, the example PJ mentioned tonight of Job, that perhaps is nobody else. The story of Job reminds us in his own time that God will overcome all of the difficulties and conflicts and turn our captivity around. Job's trials and all are considered his captivity, as if these things captured him. They captured his time, his attention, his energy, his life. Everything about him was captivated and captured by this. And one day God came on the scene and it took those 42 chapters for it to occur. But eventually it happened and God gave him back twice of what he ever had. Again, these are passing experiences. The trials that you're going through right now, know this. Maybe somebody's here tonight needs to hear this. That what you're going through is not going to last forever. I cannot tell you how long. I cannot tell you how short. I cannot tell you how deep the waters may go that you must wade. I can't tell you how high the bar is set that you might have to climb over. But I can tell you this much. Whatever the trial, be it fiery and beyond all belief, it is here to pass. It will not stay. Number two tonight, I would suggest to you that these trials are purifying experiences. I mentioned to you earlier, I may have used the phrase the smelting process. I don't want to get too technical about it and go into all of it. None of us are smelters. But you can do some research on this and you do some reading about how both the refiner, the person who's taking the element, gold or silver, and running it through the process. The story goes something like this, that the refiner never leaves the fire. He watches the fire. Whenever he's refining gold or silver, he gets the fire going. The fire is of his making. The gold and silver, they do not make the fire. Surely you understand that simplistic thing. But the refiner, who is our God, makes the fire. He brings the trial. So this is different than when you get yourself in trouble. This is not, you done so. I hit my thumb right with a hammer on purpose. Why has God put me through that? God didn't do that. You done that to yourself. We're not talking about that. We're talking about things that God brings into our life. So here is this trial I'm going through. And the refiner who starts that fire stays there and watches it, making sure that it never gets too hot so as to damage the gold or the silver. So somebody's watching over the fire. And somebody's controlling the temperature of it, making sure it's just what it needs to be, that the ore would be melted, and then from that, there would be a separation process. And this is what we forget. We forget that the reason that God puts us through the fire is because in our lives is a mixture of good and bad. Now, some of y'all think this, I'm saved, I ain't sinned since then. Let me ask your neighbor about that. Let me talk to your wife or your husband. Let me ask your parents. Let me ask your children. The fact is, even after you got saved, you have sinned. It may be in thought, it may be in word, it may be in deed, or it may be in all three of those. But somewhere along the way in life, you have sinned since you got saved. There's still a lot of you in you that needs to be separated from the Christ in you. Am I making sense to you tonight? So how does that separation happen? Well, I surrender to God. I just surrender more and I surrender more and I surrender more. Most of us have never done what the song says, I surrender all. But when trials come, the refiner starts the fire, smelts us, and through that process, he forces a separation. He makes us separate. And most of us, when we go through these trials, don't we notice what ought not be in our life? I need to stop that. I need to clean up. It is the mercy and the grace of God that instead of killing us and taking us on to heaven, He puts us through the trial so that there'll be a separation and the impurities are separated from that which is the pure gold and the pure silver. And then the process continues with the smelter, the refiner, watching the fire, watching it. And the story was told, you probably heard this, of how that the refiner was asked, how do you know when you have burned it enough? How do you know when you've separated it enough? How do you know when the process is over that the fire has done its work? And his response was this, when I can look into the metal in the bowl and see my reflection. And that's when we're done. And it's pure gold. And it's pure, though I be tried by fire, I shall come forth as gold. And so the refiner is looking at us because all the trials are meant to help make us look more like Jesus. So when he can look in there, I mean, think about it. If he looked into your life and mine right tonight, would he see himself, more of him and less of you? Or more you, less of him. You remember the words of John the Baptist? It's appropriate here. He said this when asked if he was I'm not the Christ. I'm the voice in the wilderness, but I'm not the Christ. He said this, he must increase, but I must decrease. So number one, it's a passing experience. It ain't here to stay. It's going to be over, maybe soon. Secondly, it's a purifying process. The Lord is using whatever I'm going through to help purify so that I look and act and behave more like Jesus. And thirdly and finally, it is a preparing experience. Now, understand that we are being prepared for another day. And now you may think I mean this. God's put me through something today so I can handle something next week. That's probably true. But that's not what the Bible always paints as the picture. It's not always God doing something for us today that's going to help us be a better Christian next month. Surely that's taught in the Bible. We do go through trials that are meant to help us mature and grow. But if you back up, and it's mentioned in chapter 4, but I think it's kind of said more succinctly in chapter number 1, where he says this, verse 8 and 9, whom having not seen, we're going through the trials, whom having not seen Jesus, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now watch verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What am I saying? I'm saying this much, that what we're going through now is preparing us for that day when we get to heaven. Everything going on in life is not just meant to get us ready for what we got to do tomorrow or the next day. But the Lord has a way of helping us with our faith to prepare us for the day when we stand before Him. And remember this, when we stand before Him one day, there will be more fire. Let me explain what I mean. That does not mean hell. Not at all. The Christian does not ever have to face that prospect. The penalty of your sin was paid for when Jesus died on the cross. But the Bible does speak that every believer, every person that knows Jesus, will have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to receive in their body, receive reward or lose reward for what they've done in their body, whether it be good or bad. So since the day you got saved, what have you done for Jesus? And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that the fire, I'll let you read it with me. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3 and I'll read it and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and let me put in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. I bet you know this verse. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, so Jesus is the foundation of our church, our life, our souls, our salvation, then we build on the foundation. And here are the things that are built. Gold, silver, precious stones, put those three together, they are purified by fire. And then wood, hay, stubble, those are consumed by the fire. So three precious metals and three consumable items, and those are tried. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day. That's the day when we see the Lord. Shall declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, not what size, not about how big you do things, but how correctly and properly in worship to God that you do it. For if any man's work, verse 14, abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I believe there'll be people at the judgment seat of Christ who did a lot of works after they got saved. They're genuinely saved. But they did a lot of things to pin ribbons on themselves, did it for the fame and the popularity. Everybody look at me. In other words, they did it for the wrong reason. And nobody down here might know that, but the Lord that is there does know that. He knows the true motive behind your heart and mine in everything we do. So we're doing it so somebody can see us, so we can brag about it, so we can get the glory. And one day when we stand before Him, those works we did are nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble. And the fire, real literal fire? No, I believe it means the fire of God. It's not my word like a fire. I think God will take His word and sift right through all of our works that were done in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And they will be tried by the fire of God's word. And so the fiery trials we're going through here are meant to prepare us for the day that we stand before the Lord. Preparing experiences. So remember what Job went through, but so one day he could stand before the Lord and see his Redeemer that lived. The trials that you're going through now are so one day you can stand before the Lord and give Him praise and honor and glory for all of eternity for how good and great and gracious our God has been. What a day that's going to be. Some people barely get in, so to speak, by the skin of their teeth. Their works are burnt up because they did it for the wrong reason. Maybe for themselves. But others who did it for the right reason, their works are tried by the fire of God's word, and it's gold, silver, and precious stones. And it comes forth, if I could use the idea of it, comes forth for those crowns that we might one day lay at His feet and say, Lord, I did this for You. There's a lot of things we do for Jesus, but sometimes those things end up being things that we think we did for Jesus, but the truth is, we just did them so others would notice us. God help us that we do it for Him and for Him alone. Fiery trials. They'll pass. They'll pass. They'll purify us. They'll prepare us for the day we stand before Jesus. Let's stand together.